interrupting the current neo-Ukronial climate change behaviorally controlled energy-starved postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. Are you getting it, folks? This is Cricketude Busting, episode BTWRLM 485. And we just keep plotting along here, hoping people picking it up, and I am hearing... I really am kind of a hermit, folks. You just have to understand that. I do talk with people that will send me emails, but I don't have much more time to get out and about and talk with people. But I'm told that there are people, we're all coming along very, very, very slowly. And I'm encouraged by hearing that. I just would wish faster for y'all. And I tried to, I keep saying try. I come here every week to offer through the news the view and how to look at it and what to anticipate, where to put your energy or not, how to put it. Some communications to me, people are trying to figure this, the communicable disease thing up. It's real simple in a way. Just go to your communicable disease law. Start and put, when you see things written down, put it in practice. If there's a duty for someone to do or a thing to happen, put that on a list that has to happen. If you don't find that, they've breached it. That goes for everything. Wherever the government doesn't really run like it has been running lawfully. And I'm dismayed to watch lots of people, lots of us, saying that how wonderful the rights are we have, and we have rights, and nobody really knows how to exercise it. And I know that through my studies, and this is decades now, that the system has been occupied, it's been usurped, it's been taken over, and it's used your good faith in that against you. You're being exploited at every turn. In part, it's how I can quickly come to what I tell you, and why, in a way, it's, I talk with my friends, and, well, you don't really, I mean, how much time do you put in studying? And I said, I tell them it's not that really that much. Once you have the eyes to see, you and you listen, you know exactly what these folks are going to be doing. You know exactly how they're hacking your life, and you start to see it at least. And then it's, the question isn't really what, that they're hacking it, because that's, they're criminals. It's how do you go about stopping it? And I offer different ways. Certainly not the definitive way, and certainly not to say that no one has their own way that may work, but that's what we're looking for as people, what starts to work, what is working. And I've found that making a record, don't dally in making records to identify the duties real quick, is one of the main points. And then what seems to fall from there, to fail from there after that, most people don't understand how to actually apply that record. And so this becomes the main thing. But getting on last week, I tore through a bunch of tabs last week. I was pretty impressed, even for myself. Usually I leave 10 players, 12 players on the field. This week I have to keep going now. We got to get going. If I go fast, then maybe we get through it. I'll show you the continuum. This week I'm going to start touching. It's not going to be solely in the digital world, your filch matrix, but there's things that we have to start concerning ourselves with that we never had to do before, and it all becomes the multiple vulnerabilities. But PSA to all of us and who may have certain types of Kias or another car. I can't remember now. I'll read it from here. A Kentucky woman falls victim to a new method of stealing cars spreading on social media. As kids will play, TikTok is one of the sources of the play. And it's easy to send this information around, and ignorance will, and youth will experiment, and it happens to cause people trouble. Lexington woman has fallen victim to a nationwide trend of car thefts stolen simply by using a USB cord. Investigators said it stems from social media, mainly TikTok, called the Kia Challenge. And so there's two cars that are susceptible to this. Hyundai's, I guess, is it. So both of you who own, it's a certain year, certain set of years, I won't go too much more than to tell you, this is a serious defect. All they have to do is break out your locks. They have a USB cord. They're not really explaining how they do it, and I don't have the time to go track it down. Apparently, TikTok will explain to you how you break into Kias and Hyundais. Very simple. But your car is sitting there in front of your house, and the next minute it's gone. It literally takes just a few seconds. What they offer here, just in a quick moment, for those of you that have these cars, they said that companies are not responding to fix that problem. They're saying it has been fixed in subsequent years. But for those of you that have these cars, you have to understand that there's really not much you can do except maybe put on an alarm system on your car and get a steering wheel lock. The thing I saw was it seems to be that the people, the kids are doing like smash and grabs. Maybe they don't have the sense to try and open the door. It used to be a technique when you're in an area that gets your car stuff stripped out of your car, you just leave the doors open and don't leave anything in it. So that consider your condition, but be aware if you have a certain year Kia and a certain year Hyundai's, all it takes is a USB cord to hack your life. The digital matrix, the filched digital systems that they're putting us into that are smart, that are into the future, that are already wreaking havoc in our lives in different ways. Not everybody in this case is going to be affected. They claim to have fixed it, but they allowed it in the first place. It seems to be like our computer systems. There are the computer hardware and the software. It's all hackable, and you buy a faulty product that is fixed on the way. I'd like to have you think about your car when you're taking it on a trip and finding out the little things are broken on it and try to fix it while you're on your trip that you thought you paid for, then find out you don't even have the right to repair that anyway. Is the future that they want and not for you. And again, it's all about profit-driven. They don't care about you. And this woman and others, thousands and thousands and thousands of people are being affected. So we move on as we find our filched matrix, a system of the digital world, a social crediting system that's coming on. Again, using your phone against you, the thing that you're so enamored by. And I agree, it's really fantastic. I shouldn't say fantastic. Really usable technology that is being used against us that you have to pay attention to. As hackers can bring ships and planes to a grinding halt, and it could become much more common. I always have problems with these types of things because we were told the United States military was going to have total dominance and they were going to control the view and the sphere of this and be ahead of it. And the FBI jumped in. We found out all these sort of things are frauds, and we all found out these organization seems to be part of the problem. They are part of the attack. And so we can put our faith in all this, or we can start to understand we better put some distance between us. We better start learning again what it is to deal, work with each other locally, not use these things. The shipping companies will need adequate amounts of green methanol and other greener fuels to power ships to take meaningful difference in their carbon footprint in all this. And these require that the hookup goes on through the system so they keep track. And the reality is that an aeroplane or vessel is likely to be a digital system, can be hacked, likely. So there's no protections here. And consider well what we're watching. And this is, again, like the ladies in Kentucky's car and thousands of people. These systems are hackable more and more so. I don't know what we really do about that more than if you look around, you may find older cars that just hold on to your old car. Be a Luddite. Hold on to the old stuff as best as you can. I don't know really, again, more what you do. You have to start taking your security much more seriously and hands-on, like somebody with a Kia or a Hyundai is going to have to put on that steering wheel lock. I don't know that that's going to stop the smash-and-grab windows, though. So, again, it's being set up. Well, good people get preyed upon, and it's going to be more and more to us for ourselves to protect ourselves. Again, remember, the government has no duty to protect you. In fact, the way I've seen it now, it has a duty. It's set up its own duty to exploit you. Mega, a company in the internet, says it can't decrypt your files, but a POC exploit shows otherwise. As we, again, I want to point out here, as we move along in the third-party companies, well, first of all, the things you buy from a company are hackable and can be interfered with. The problem with going to the government as we move in through this digital world and all the things that they want to do ostensibly to keep you from doing crime, in other words, that's a presumption of guilt upon you. One of your main points should be that's what they're doing to you. Is third-party services being used? Look very carefully today to find out that they may make claims and can't actually hold up to that, as we see evidence around. I just want to, I guess today, in part of the broadcast is to remind us of all the things that we see going on in the news. Some of this stuff is going to be your daily living. You're going to have to live by the connection to the internet as this thing moves forward. This story here, in a decade since larger-than-life character Kim.com founded Mega, the cloud storage service has amassed 250 million registered users and it stores a whopping 120 billion files that take up more than 1,000 petabytes of storage. key selling point that has helped fuel the growth is an extraordinary promise of that no top-tier competitor makes, not even Mega, can decrypt the data it stores. Well, when you read through this stuff, you find out that's not necessarily the truth. They are hackable with whatever the promotion is. And understand, you say, well, I don't use that. I'm suggesting to you the government eventually may and have your data on it. And if you don't know how to avoid having to put that data in a place or use it for a benefit that you think you need or you do need, then you're not thinking through the problem far enough ahead, and you're bringing yourself susceptible to have essentially life-altering problems. No different than the government will be able to do directly to you a third party or a third party hacking that system can do. So with this brave new world, digital world, this Matrix. Matrix is not a movie, folks. It was telling us something. It was a documentary. You can't just kind of, I notice we kind of get lulled away from the fact that we use the technology all the time. It's just, it's the lulling us into a trap. The more you integrate it, the more you drop your guard, to the point where we find these stories and how quickly and simple it is to destroy stuff. And in particular, what the main theme here is things that are going in the future to be run and regulated and needed if we allow it. Again, this is our consent to allow it, to not speak out, to not create the I can't thing. In other words, you don't, when it comes down to a government asking for something digital, you don't give it to them, period. That's it. It's over. We see when you do let yourself available, how a fake job offer took down the world's most popular crypto game. Most people say, well, a lot of people may say it on crypto games and this. No, well, these are tokenized behavioral control systems as well. So don't underestimate that there's lots of things out there that do the same thing. But how a fake job offer took down the world's most popular crypto game is an insight into how your life will be affected by somebody else. Somebody else's unawareness. As high level as you would think that they would be in their professions to be able to know better. Rarely has a job application backfired more spectacularly than in the case of one senior engineer at Axie Infinity, whose interest in joining what turned out to be a fictitious company led to one of the crypto sector's biggest hacks. Ronin, the Ethereum-linked sidechain that underpins play-to-earn game Axie Infinity, lost $540 million in crypto to an exploit in March. So all these digital things are an exploit against you, either by directly to you, you're going to be one of this guy at some point, or third party, that what you rely on. In this case, it's a play to earn. They put you into the loyalty conditions. You do that with your Safeway card right now. You do it with any other loyalty card. You're doing the same thing. You get into this habit that these are susceptible to your life being changed. So, if the loyalty card happens to just be inert, that's not going to be a problem. But that's not the future. That's not what we're being told is coming down. Your life is totally integrated, and if they get their way, you're going to be integrated through a trustee called the Fed in the United States and other places, other central banks in other countries. While the U.S. government later tied the incident to North Korea, Korean hacking group Lazarus, full details of how the exploit was carried out have not been disclosed. Let me offer and remind you that when Snowjob Snowden exposed to us what the U.S. government could do, that there's the technology to change the origins of all these things that I told you then, the United States government, there you could not know, and then they gave that out open source. You cannot know a country, a state player, could not get in and change files to show who, to make up who may have been the problem. In this case, it could be that North Korea did it, but there's technology to say that it could have been set up as well, taking the pressure off of the United States itself. And yes, I don't trust anybody anymore. And neither should you at this point. If you haven't seen this in the last few years, if my broadcast for over 10 and longer hasn't explained to you that we can't trust really anybody, everything is down to looking at everything and even questioning that, and questioning your sources and double-checking, being our own investigative reporter, then you're not listening. Maybe you're just new to the broadcast, and you've been hearing this, and I'm telling you, I'm reinforcing today that this is something we will have to continue to do. any rate, so they blame the United States government will blame it on North Korea. The technology is out. There's really no way they can blame anybody. They can set up all the coding inside the hack in order to make a point to anybody they want. Anyway, the block can now reveal the fake job ad that Ronan is undoing, but according to two people in direct knowledge of the matter who were granted anonymity due to the sensitive nature of the incident, a senior engineer at Axie Infinity was duped into applying for a job at a company that in reality did not exist. And so they get you again. This is like a fishing expedition. The gentleman apparently was induced into a better job, and that could be, and how simple that is. It looks legit. You go around. We were talking about this behind the woodshed years ago, where you look at a website, it looks pretty awesome. It looks legitimate, but if you look very, very, very carefully, it's not actually true. And so they're trying to get past your perception, whatever you perceive, and that's somehow pretty easy to get past. Even experts in the field can be duped. And here we go back. Now we move into the government itself, or even the Justice Department investigating data breach of the federal court system. So anybody ever had a federal court case and needed to get in, signed up for any digital services, which Ken, I told you in 2013, we did not sign up for the digital services. We could not get our files from the PACER system, but we also decided that it was more important not to put private data on any computer system in order to, as a trade for our privacy. And so we counter to that is to do your paperwork through the courts and demand your documents that they send them hard copy. So we had to take the slower route, but we were more secure. And these are the decisions you have to go forward. Game and trust the government is the point here. Assistant Attorney General National Security Matthew Olson testified at the committee that the NSD is working very closely with the Judicial Conference and judges around the country to address this issue. Around the country, folks. This was not limited by a database central to a central jurisdiction. It shows you the comprehensive overreach of all judiciaries that have interacted, interrelated, interdependent systems. The wider impact, a committee aide said that Nadler's questions came after the committee received a briefing on the attack, noting that the sweeping impact it had on the operation of the Department of Justice is staggering. Again, the government is affected just like you would be if this happens to you. The aide was granted anonymity in order to discuss it privately. Again, I'm just touching base on this, letting you know this is what's going on. Keep your head up and keep up. Don't close your eyes because of immense amount of information. Look for all the old vulnerabilities. Start making lists of who you won't deal with. Take note of this. Take a copy of this paper and then use this as if push comes to shove to say, no, I'm not giving you any information. You're not what, folks? The magic word. You're not trustworthy. Government's supposed to be sitting in a position of trust. We can't trust you. That's going to give you a big measure of a buffer in the future. It's not the only thing you may have to say, but like I said, you bring this up and say that you failed in 2022. No, I'm not going to do what you ask. And then as I tell you and I show you, not only do we have the hacks, not only do we have the unforeseen hacks, we have the ones that are programmed in. We have the ones that are left in by mistake. We have the technology and the hardware that's susceptible just because of its design and the structure of it. Just because of the use of digits the way they are, we no longer trust this digital prison and this digital vulnerability. And then you assert that the government can't use it. I'm pausing. I want people to think about this. It's not just that I have rights. You have to have a reason behind why you're going to go up against an agency or a government official that is presumed to be right and doing right and doing right for the system. And you're going to have to know your antecedent protections that say that's without the trust that you need. You were supposed to maintain the trust. It was your duty. As a beneficiary to that trust, that doesn't cut it. So here again, brings this stuff forward, giving you hopefully a thought of how you're going to organize your information in a potential use in the future, given that this is going where it's going. I don't know what else to say about that. I hope people see all this. It's bad enough that companies make hackable things, and it's quite another immense problem here, an immense difficulty here with the government doing. And they're relying on third-party stuff as well. Firm claims U.S. spooks blessed purchase of Pegasus spyware maker. The deal between defense contractor L3Harris and cyber weapon maker NSO reportedly failed after talks were exposed. Again, so now you have in good faith, there's a lack of trust. When you can't set up a system that's going to be trustable, the judiciary in this case, where most people don't access it, it is where your remedies are, and this becomes your vulnerability. Using that, if you will, service, if it was even that neutral, that the U.S. itself, as we know, this is not even new information, it's just that we cannot turn away from the fact that the government cannot be trusted. You take up these stories, these reports, and these are the publications of evidence that you can use. And I think the rules of evidence, if you go read through them, you'll find publications are evidence. They may have to be supported anywhere, but what you get to rely on is this evidence to move forward. You don't need the extra proof to be able to rely on it in order to act or to question or to avoid or to do whatever you need in defense of yourself. A U.S. defense contractor that tried to purchase infamous Israeli firm behind Pegasus spyware claimed it had the backing of the United States, the U.S. intelligence community, the New York Times has reported. Talks are said to have collapsed after the media exposed them last month. Why censorship is so important to control, why whistleblower protections are so massive, and why you see the government attacking people that would be whistleblowers and or explaining, trying to show the truth. It's just when you see the government gone bad this way, what else do you say about it? You cannot trust. So then you wonder, well, if the judiciary was hackable, maybe that was set up from the inside. Why are they reporting it? Why are they studying it so hard? Well, why did it happen? The military was supposed to be protecting all this. Remember, total domination, the total protection. They told us they were going to do all this. So your military has failed. Oh, they surely accomplished the fraud of warp speed, but they can't do this. And they've been working on it for a long time now. This is not just this week. Found a little Twitter response here a month ago or so now, moving in, just short. Wait, says Shauna. Unity is merging with the company best known for its malware delivery system, so popular that it has its own entries in VirusTotal, was blacklisted on Windows by MS and was used to spread fake flash installers through the Equifax site. What? So we are out of touch. Most of us are out of touch. If I hadn't seen this, I wouldn't known a thing about it. Not that I'm even, what do I care about Equifax? But some of you that are, you think you're in, not social credit, but your credit score is there. And Equifax, a third-party company, is out there. Working and merging with people you don't know. Corporations run for profit. They're not working to protect you. Without seeing this tweet, I wouldn't even know that was even a possibility. No one's protecting against this. No, in fact, it's sought after. Third-party corporations working together to subvert your privacy, to subvert you, to bring you into vulnerabilities that you blindside you, completely blindside you. Cryptocurrency titan Coinbase providing geo-tracking data to ICE, I-C-E, Customs Enforcement. Remember now, you go to Title 8 in the United States Code and go look under naturalization, and this is where this agency is, and you're, for the most part, people don't understand, that's where you're treated through is Title 8. So if you think you live in the United States, it's free, and you don't think that this database is handed to the government, now what you may do relative to your cryptocurrency that I predicted to you what would be happening, this is another track and trace system. We have evidence today. We have the evidence. All this today, just look around. You don't have to find mine. You find your own. But make it important. It's another thing I'm talking with people. When they finally make what I'm saying important, something about the subject matter, they make important to themselves, and start tracking down, they start appreciating. They start finding the information and they start moving it together and using it, and they start appreciating what I've been saying all this time. You can't do this without having to focus. Yeah, it gets pretty dry-eyed, mind-numbing, eye-bleedingly boring. But it's the information you need to figure out and work and synthesize for yourself to come and put into practice. When you focus on a subject matter that interests you, check it on down. You start to see the things I'm saying if you didn't see it before. Why, I can tell you some things ahead of time. It's already written in a way, so it's not really ahead of time, but that end up coming out. The Coinbase, the largest cryptocurrency exchange, when we go into cryptocurrency issues, when you are in cryptocurrency and they're regulating it, like we see Russia doing, leading the world, essentially, making that the mental bipolar system, you're going to see more of the integration of how this all works in keeping the tracking. It's already working in the United States, as I say. The Coinbase, the largest cryptocurrency exchange in the United States, is selling Immigration and Customs Enforcement a suite of features to track and identify cryptocurrency users according to contract documents shared with the Intercept. That's all I'm going to say. You want to know more, you can come to this link. The point is, you see, they do it for what? A profit. They're using you, and your maybe even your good nature, as an exchange in order to do this. They're working hand in glove with a government that has made you, remember, 9/11, they said they made everybody an enemy combatant, and you're presumed to be a misdemeanant, have committed a misdemeanor already. A lot of this they'll say doesn't exist, but you watch, you know them by what they do, folks, the deeds. Where do I get that? Do I make this stuff up? No, I'm told as you read. You know them when you see them, and it's not said that way, but for those of us behind the wood said with a little bit of a country rule in us, you know them when you see them. It says you are known by your deeds. They don't have to tell you. And so when you start watching what's going on, don't disregard it's telling you who you're dealing with, what you're dealing with, whether you know all the details or not. So they're tracking you. Their corporations are profit-driven. And again, I've looked around. They removed the ability to go after a corporation, at least directly. Anybody who's doing research and has found it, I'd like to know more. How you go after a corporation now when they shifted. This happened, I think, after 1953 as well. They shifted the liability of a corporation. You no longer had to be liable to doing a public good. You just had to do good by your shareholders. That's profit. So cryptocurrency, as you see it being regulated, will be a tracking device. Again, by definition, it's not decentralized. Critical flaws in GPS tracker enable disastrous and life-threatening hacks. This is in your car as you move forward and you get all this new technology. Not only are some cars hackable and you drive away by just a USB cord, but inside the technology. A security firm in the United States government is advising the public to immediately stop using the popular GPS tracking device or to at least minimize exposure to it, citing a host of vulnerabilities that make it possible for hackers to remotely disable cars while they're moving, track location histories, disarm alarms, and cut off fuel. I see this disarm alarms. Maybe you need to put a secondary alarm that runs maybe within the system in order so you can maintain a security while it's parked that it can't be disabled, runs off a light that's turned on if you touch the handle or something. But anyway, this is tying back over to the report we said that the airplanes and freighters can be hacked. This was a known vulnerability going into all this technology, but the U.S. government comes after the fact to say, oh, we can't use that one. Don't use that. Again, I want to read more, but it's a waste of time in a way if you're not interested. I just want you to know, public service announcement today, the vulnerabilities of our filched matrix that they're shoving everybody in that I don't hear many people putting together any kind of a resistance to. And it's in this internet battlefield of things. Remember, it is military. Because it's not being stopped and the vulnerability is not being stopped, and it is the internet battlefield of things, as I've reported on before. Military itself says this. They know what it is. Starting as ARPA, some innocent little, we can multiply communicate with each other through a system that can't be actually taken down so easily. Well, I said it, Vince. Yeah, The military knows all about this stuff, and it's not being stopped. So you can either say that's happening or not. It's going on. It's not being stopped. The omission is a deed. Omissions, the failure to act, whether in this case there's no duty necessarily straightforward, but they've been claiming that they would act and they haven't, is a deed. In fact, I've told you to work the omission of a duty in the communicable disease law to show they are violating the law and intend to. So what I tell you behind the woodshed on all these points is all consistent with taking whatever information you have, reframing it in order to be a protection or an avoidance for you. So now you can't even use a GPS to track you down. And I got a little bit of a chill here for people, because a lot of the stories, it was like that one woman who got her car hacked and stolen. The car got stolen. But what if you're a vulnerable, potentially a woman, to someone who's being stalked against someone who knows the technology and can hack their car and gets them stopped in a place at night? Anybody, even anybody, it doesn't matter. You can be overwhelmed. You can be the biggest, toughest guy and get overwhelmed. It doesn't matter if you have a gun either. You can be outdone. And so this is, if you don't think about its importance, as cars are getting newer and newer, and you get newer and newer cars, you become more and more vulnerable to those that know the technology. The state actors know the technology, folks. You're vulnerable wherever. And I'm recalled now, you know, how many SUVs have we heard from whistleblowers, so-called, or journalists that were run into a bridge above it, or a palm tree. So we're susceptible to these hacks. They're dangerous. They're immensely dangerous. They're unsuspecting. They get you if these people are any kind of an actor, they get you in your most vulnerable moment as well. And partly why I say, if you can go through these things and put in your mind these thought experiments about vulnerabilities, you're that much quicker prepared. And it becomes a lot quicker to respond quickly. It could be that second, that one little second difference, that little intuition that steps in and you listen to, could be the deciding factor in the future, as opposed to not thinking about it, thinking it's not going to be you. And so we think companies are coming to bear. You see the profitability about some of this stuff. You see government or corporations essentially are looking to profit, and they don't care how they figure out to make a profit. They don't care down the road whether or not it causes a vulnerability. No, they exploit these things. And we see something out of the blue, again, more along the lines of the SMART technology, the tracking, tracing, the everything is, nothing is yours, you'll like it, and you're going to do as you're told on the things that you're going to be told to use. We move into the other vulnerabilities, if they get you here, that Lime turns e-scooters into micro-mobility surveillance platforms. So you don't even know, you're just living in your life, in your house or whatever, going down the road or whatever, and standing up front of your lawn, and there's a Lime e-scooter goes by with somebody riding on it, and it's a surveillance platform. Under the guise of public safety, Lime e-scooters could soon be recording everyone and everything they see. Now, this is not the only one. This is just a mobile one, like the Ring camera that's already in practice, giving all the information to the cops. And again, it's not, you can't look at this and say, well, I don't do anything, so it's a problem. There's people that will make up that you're doing problems. They make it up. It's as if there's no due process, no probable cause that has to be done. If you see someone's signature on any piece of paper that has any kind of a color of officialness, that's good enough. It isn't in law, but I think no one has figured out what that law is or go read it to go find out that's the case. And it's boring, like they make it boring so that you probably don't go read it, but you have to at least get something under your belt about how this all works. A recent article in TechCrunch revealed that Lime's advanced rider assistant technology, a RAT, will be using a camera to detect when riders are on sidewalks. So under the guise of keeping the system working relative to the riders, likely of a commons e-cycle, they then also use the technology as a dual use, which you should read in this article. While the article does not discuss how Lyme sidewalk detection cameras will work, one can assume the news isn't good. For starters, it is hard to imagine the European Union allowing e-scooters recording people in cars in cities across the Union, but none of that seems to matter to Lyme. In the U.S., Lyme plans to installing ARAT e-scooters in 6 cities by mid-August. I always find these names really, really funny. Really cool. Telling us exactly what it's up. I'll stop right there. We have now mobile surveillance platforms used by the government in order to keep track of what's going on. And again, it has nothing to do with, I'm not a criminal and this and that. They make stuff up. I don't know if people have heard that there's so many rules and violations. People do 3 or 4 felonies a day if they wanted to be pointed out. So, and again, when you're already presumed to be the misdemeanor underneath the 9/11 fraud, then you are, if you haven't figured that out and what's going on there, and that you're, that's why it looks like your presumption, you're not presumed innocent. There's another reason administratively, and that's actually how they're going through this for that, all of that when you start looking at what's going on. And most people don't respond to all that in defense of themselves or in avoidance, then the presumption is more, it's not correctly placed, but it's just exploited and placed as a presumption of right by the sovereign citizen in under the color of a costume, the badge, the gun, the robe, and all this other stuff. A new attack can unmask anonymous users on any major browser. And so again, this filched Matrix, where the Matrix is not a movie. Back when they were telling us, you're sitting inside of a system, you're enjoying what's going on, they are taking energy from you. In this case, it would be the tokens reduced to dollars, and or eventually, as you see the patents that come out, they take your own bodily energy to run the system. You're integrated. So don't underestimate how they've all put this together. But for something like myself, I have many, many browsers I use for all different purposes. I run probably 6 right now during the broadcast on 2 different systems. I look at this and I just, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Not that I want to be anonymous, but again, when you're looking after a state actor that's coming after you, as we start hearing the governments are coming after the whistleblowers and the journalists and all this, and just anybody, then, and they have, these policies that set that up, and it's only policy, it's not law, and no one fights it. They get the upper hand to come after you and make your life miserable. It's the, again, that vulnerability that you didn't anticipate, all done through the digital world. Everyone from advertisers and marketers to the government-backed hackers, spyware makers, wants to identify and track the users across the web. And while a staggering amount of infrastructure is already in place to do exactly that, the appetite for data and new tools to collect it has proven insatiable. Understand, this is the point of the SMART technology, Sustainable Development Technocracy. This is where we're at and why we're here. And it make it so convenient. It's like drugs. It's a drug pusher. They give you a little bit, and you like it, and you keep using it, and pretty soon you don't realize you're addicted. And it takes a ton of work to reassess that and to pull yourself back. And again, I think the technology could be a great aid. But the people that want to, the exploiters are the ones that are actually taking control. I suppose there'd be a way to start checking this, but it would take more people to get involved and to engage the system for more laws that aren't being engaged. But at least you have a black and white, see, that has to be done. The EU seems to be doing, for as much as I would criticize it, the European Union seems to do a lot in the digital realm to try and produce some protections, at least disclosures that people are supposed to be given. And they are pretty stiff liabilities if you're a company that doesn't agree to that, and you heard that in the story prior. So the data collection is insatiable. Technocrats are here. With that reality in mind, researchers in the New Jersey Institute of Technology are warning this week about a novel technique attackers could use to de-anonymize website visitors and potentially connect the dots on many components of the target's digital lives. The findings, which the NJIT researchers will present at the USENIX Security Symposium Boston next month, show how an attacker who tricks someone into loading a malicious website can determine whether the visitor controls or a particular public identifier like an email address or social media account, thus linking the visitor to a piece of potentially personal data. And these accounts are everywhere, that YouTube, Dropbox, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, all of them can be then integrated. It's like an AI condition. And then if they keep making the dossier on you. And if this is someone, you get back to the car that's hackable, they know that, and they find it, and they're a stalker against you. It may not even be the government. The government could also be in its most beneficial position. There are bad actors out there. The interesting part of this story is the attacks work even against the major browser, including the anonymity-focused Tor browser. And what was interesting in this story as well is that the people who are making these browsers, and for all their good intentions, trying to keep privacy out, trying to force a lack of connection for people to exploit you, whatever, as innocuously as keep feeding you something through every website you go through to go buy something, which you finally do, because that's how we suggestion is a great deal. The thing here is that you get to the bottom, these people that do these browsers don't know whether or not it's worth fixing the problem that's been uncovered. And so, again, another vulnerability. When we're ignorant of a technology, where we can be exploited by it. And we start to see the facade of people that might state, such as the Tor people, that we're going to agree, you know, we're going to try and keep you anonymous. Now, granted, they do say it's pseudo-anonymity at the best that way. You have to nest your connections and to give you more protection. The point is that the browser operators or coders are not going to think this is an important problem. Nobody's going to think any of this is an important problem. And we're brought again into the technocratic sphere of control. Just as we hear the Muppet players, the puppet players, the all these other geeks and goons. Did I just insult geeks? Did I just insult goons? On the world stage that are purporting to control your life and at some point have got an influence over your governments to go ahead and move this forward. They are getting their way. The FTC asked to curtail abusive and deceptive practices in the VPN industry. So here we have another vector that people would say, not universally, but Victor would say that VPNs are a good thing. They're promoted everywhere. I've seen problems with them. Go look at their privacy statement and go look at the computer systems and servers they use. I don't have to be a tech whiz to understand that when they tell me that they're making connections, they do not tell you how the encryption works or that it works, or they don't have an access to that. It's why I don't like doing many calls, because of the stun and turn servers they use. If they stay connected, they're documenting information. Well, that's accessible now by a simple mouse click that sends you to a website that picks up everything you have in your digital social sphere. Again, your social credit is all going to be tied to that and how that works. The FTC is asked to curtail abusive and deceptive practices. The VPN is lying to you about what it does and how its services and offerings. And if you think about what I'm talking about, if things are hackable and they don't know, think about it, that there would be really no guarantee they can give anybody relative to the privacy and those of us that feel it's important, even though we're not criminals. How about if I just want to be left alone and be left to that? It's not a choice in the future in the digital realm. The VPN industry is under fire from lawmakers asking for greater accountability for claims made about privacy and security for those seeking abortions. This is the other thing that got me here. Not because of the fact of privacy, but because of this issue, this court decision. A letter penned from the FTC from the California Congresswoman Anna Eshoo and Oregon Senator Ron Wyden asked the agency to, quote, address the deceptive practices of virtual private networks, VPN industry. The letter specifically mentions the greater need for user data privacy following the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade. Why wasn't this a thing before, folks? As you see politically, this guy Wyden is just he's just another type of criminal, is all I can tell you. He wants to say he wants to do privacy. Where was he before on all this? Had nothing to do with the decision overturning Roe versus Wade. that if you look, I hope people are reading that and understand what that court case was about and what it restored that should have never been removed at the time. You know, I hope your understanding conspicuously absent from my dialogue is any discussion on that case. I don't even know where to start to approach how wrong, not the case decision was, how wrong it was to be allowed and then letting a whole many generations of people go through and then returning to that point in time. Now you see, no one really understands what really happened. And we see, because of that, we see this response totally inapplicable to the underlying privacy need that was supposed to be, should have been there before when these people should have spoken. Your privacy through VPNs should have been guaranteed, and because we see they won't and they can't, should have been a control. Am I asking for regulation? Well, in a way, when you're looking at your life being affected by surprise, someone taking your life out because you didn't know you had the vulnerability, maybe, yeah. Maybe these corporations that are not beholden to anyone but their profit need to be controlled. Maybe you need to understand how not to be a people too, a corporation too, and maybe that will start to set up your difference and distinction outside of and become more in the protective side of this. The VPN offers users the ability to mask or obscure their internet connection, making it harder for the internet activity to be tracked down. The abortion now banned in over a dozen U.S. states and growing concern that lawmakers will try to criminalize those seeking abortions across state lines. Advocate groups are worried that the internet search history could be used to prosecute residents looking for an abortion. Is actually a conflation of a lot of problems. Again, it's not really saying that. I find it interesting they're using this abortion as now the reason why people need privacy when just years ago that wasn't a concern and they could care less about your privacy. And so we're not doing principles here. We're doing the touchy-feely, warmy, fuzzy thing. And it's not that abortions have been outlawed. They are of state determination. Stop there. That's not what I'm here to talk about. We're talking about you're being promised something by a so-called VPN industry that have been a lie, and now we're seeing that's the truth. It's been a lie for everybody else that would promote to say that you're protected. You're not. This is an aside. I don't use a VPN. Well, I don't have the money to use a VPN, but I've never trusted what they've done. I don't trust anything, but I've got a nested system. I get onto a virtual box. I move into the Hunix, and then I use a Tor. And then I'm changing my connections periodically. When I'm doing stuff like a whistleblower type stuff, I want to be tracked. Most of the time I can care less, but I got to be careful about being too lackadaisical about that as well. Even communicating on the Twitter, you can't hook on. It is a vulnerability eventually. If someone wants to get a hold of you and figure out what's going on. And I've told you, I do things that we're not criminals, and yet we have a government coming after us who is a criminal, and there are certain due process things that I know I tell you about that you can use, that you understand, you and you understand this, that you can press against them, and the due process thing they need to know is who you are and where you are. And if they don't know that, they have a ton of trouble. And I'm looking at that beast 24/7, 365 days a year, relative to our mining claim, and you've got a United States government, whether it be the Forest Service, or whether it be BLM, or the DOJ. So I don't do anything wrong. I'm not a criminal. Told you about the petition I wrote, shows how the criminality works, and it's not in us. And yet, we're vulnerable to that criminality in our face. It could attack us. It could kill us. And I'm not making up and overstating this problem, that you, because you're not likely, you don't understand the threat is right in your face that way. It could happen in any moment. That to take the word of these companies anymore can't be done. And I'm happy to see the FTC has asked to curtail abuse and deceptive and get that question out in the open. The EU did a little bit about that with their information for disclosure. And in a way, it's really not that they're doing it, is that they should tell you that they're actually not as private. And so you can assess your vulnerability. As I say, when you get onto communication systems for video, I don't have a camera. I just talk to the audio. And I only use a system where I understand that I believe them telling me the truth. And because it has to do with the bottom line, the profit motive, that they do not, this company does not stay connected to their Stun server in order to monitor anything if it's a one-to-one call. It's the only service that I will use, and temporarily, periodically, because of their connections. They at least disclose and give a reason why they only do it minimally, just enough, and then they release it. That's good enough for me at this time. It's probably the best I'm going to find to try and be as anonymous as possible and lack of traceable and trackable connections. Because of what I do with people for their problems over time, in my history, I've seen that they try to group people together and they diminish you by, again, they give you a label and they try to diminish you. If they can find you all together, like people like to do on Discord, like people like to do on Telegram and all these other things, they can diminish you. They can identify at least that you're doing it and then be ready. They then have the intelligence to be ready for when you show up and understand how to defeat you. And they're doing it through all this digital connection. Or can do it, I should say. As we hear, then the FBI manipulating domestic terror stats, says a whistleblower within that. So we have on the one hand a government saying, well, wait a minute, you got to be honest about what you're actually doing relative to your privacy with people. Oh, because it's about abortions. When in fact, that's not even any of the point. That's again a political football. And it's really settled at the state level. And there you go. There's your government. People want to deny it. That's your government. That's how this place is wired. On the other hand, the FBI is manipulating domestic terror stats because there isn't anything going on. 9/11 was a fraud. It's continued to be a fraud, but they got to keep the numbers up. And we see that the FBI becomes not going after organized criminals. They become the organized criminal, as government did, as it continued to do, and as it doubled down dollar-wise in 2008. And you're watching the whole same fiasco coming back around now relative to the economy, as what happened in the 2008 setup and takedown. But the FBI is instructing its agents to reclassify cases as domestic violent extremism, Republican Representative Jim Jordan has claimed, citing agency whistleblowers. Jordan argued that the FBI may be inflating the statistics to satisfy the Biden administration's crackdown on the supposed threat of homegrown terror. I see this all the time, and I said, where does your right to alter and abolish the government with your Second Amendment right when they don't want to for maladministration when you tell them so? Where does the homegrown terror turn into a right, the constitutional right to change their maladministration and them becoming an organized criminal syndicate? Being complicit with the government that rules by fear, intimidation, and dread. Just go look it up. Look up the word terror, terrorism. You'll find it's a government ruling by fear, intimidation, and dread, not the one that they've statutorily defined relative to the United States of America, talking about foreigners. And you're a foreigner. The fundamental one used for common law, at common law, is any government ruling by fear, intimidation, or dread. From recent protected disclosures, we have learned that FBI officials are pressuring agents to reclassify cases as domestic violent extremism, even if the cases do not meet the criteria for such classification. This becomes a very important thing if you do get charged under it, that you go after them. As I say, you try your avoidance, you go set aside, you go pre-plea remedies and avoidance, you attack that they didn't do it by the classification, and that their charging or their investigations are based in fraud. And there's supposed to be an equity relation, an equity jurisdiction available to you to do the remedy and get relief from that. Now, we're finding out, as I said, you've been usurped by the Bar Association and what they're doing. But if you're not making these records and getting engaged, rolling your sleeves up to see that this is the case and attacking them that way, to expose that too, this country's going down by all the people that are just watching the destruction. That the FBI itself has become the organized criminals. And this just becomes a question by Jim Jordan? I just don't get some of this. There should have been a lot quicker movement on this. And there's not. And you know them by their deed. You know them by their omission to act. The omission to act is considered a deed. If you understand what I've been saying, don't get too solid in what you think is going on. Look at what the law and the reason is behind all this and start going through that. Well, I keep talking about this omission because that's how they steal your property. That's how they steal your rights under color, and they have no warrant. And the color is that they give the officialdom, and they've just stolen this stuff from you, and you never said no. It's what I keep telling you, that you attack directly against anyone who's tried to put a imposition of the communicable health thing. It's a attack on your property. It's an attack on your pertinent rights amongst those properties. When they're saying you're trespassing and they're actually trespassing you, they're trespassing what? They're trespassing a property in you. Well, the FBI is part of this manipulation, cooking the books. Have you heard me say anything different anywhere in the government for a decade, folks? Every agency has become cooking the books because they found out that toxic debt, fraud, is monetizable. It has cred. And no one said a thing about that. And apparently there's no remedy against it. And when you start, and there wasn't anybody to step up to start making the record that there was no remedy, there hasn't been a record by the mass of people that we could have explaining this, that there is no remedy relief, and therefore there's a breach in the organic establishment providing the impetus for the people to step up and alter abolish their government where they are as they see fit. Whether or not they go to the Second Amendment is totally irrelevant, but it's there. How these people are in the Senate are going to be considered without the challenge, any kind of infringement of the Second Amendment right now, a so-called assault weapons, when even if we say there's an assault weapon, a military-style weapon, none of which can be proven, just like Kobe fraud, just like all this other stuff, money pox. Oh, the money pox is a pox. Okay, fine. It should have been stopped a long time ago. Oh, but it's not everybody. Oh, so it's still another different type of fraud. You don't have to go back and say, wait a minute, you don't have the right to infringe all this. You don't have a right to make up noise because you don't have the right to infringe that because what you're doing now is the reason why I'm going to use that. You don't have the right to infringe upon something I've granted right to do. That's what that means. The Supreme Court does not have jurisdiction and is sitting in trust breach to make a decision contrary to that. Why aren't we leading with these kinds of principles? I don't know, folks. Is it jab harm, or is it just we like to speak high of rights, but we're not going to step up to enforce them? So the FBI becomes the organized criminal. We thought in the past that the organized crime would stop, and we see now interesting places where the checks and balances happen, where the FTC is looking to curtail abusive, deceptive practices of the privacy end of the VPN industry. The FBI is cooking the books in order to make domestic violent extremism the reason why they go after a lot of this as well, when they're the ones causing it. They suggest it. We find places such as Russia wants to crack down on copyright law being used to censor content. Why? How does that work out? Well, if I'm censored behind the woodshed, then I can't tell you about the FBI, and I can't show you how these things are being violated, then it causes a problem relative to copyright law. When I say something, if someone comes in and says that what I've said is copyrighted material and don't use the United States provision for the fact that I can use it underneath the fair use, then these people who are these private actors can come in and they can make your life miserable, attack vector, which shuts you down and shuts down the truth and just the speech. We have the right to lie. Even so, the government gives it to the media all the time. Where's that about? But Russia and the idea of a free and open internet are two ideas that seldom go together, but there is one new proposed law in the country that could fix many of the copyright-related censorship problems that exist in the controversial DMCA that often allows copyright law to be used as a censorship tool. A law proposed, and I'm talking to you folks about this because in the United States, we should be able to reinforce the laws we have, and when they're not, we need people maybe like the Jordan dude to step up and act very quickly to start to impose these things and get the dialogue up so it can't be censored as well. Another vector of action. For as futile as it sounds, it's still there to do. But the law in Russia, of all places, the Minister of Economic Development, no less, we're right in there. We're talking right about the commerce in the United States, aren't we now? The law proposed by Russia's Ministry of Economic Development will introduce the punishment for illegal content takedown notices. While most content takedown notices are made in good faith, there are still those that result in erroneous takedown or copyright content. Quote, a person who illegally initiates the termination of access to intellectual property in the information and telecommunications network of the Internet can be held civilly liable in the form of damages. But damages is at law, not equity. So this is a statutory right of suit directly to the one of the takedown notice. It's very interesting that the government can also impose someone who causes a takedown of your information. They get the person who causes that wrongfully can be fined by the government itself in compensation. I offer this to say that there are ways, as I told you, you're going to have to make policies and rules and laws that protect your rights, not be silent to those that want to steal them. I continue to allow that. Russia, of all places. Now, don't think that I'm touting Russia. They are, I believe, I've seen enough evidence, their deeds are setting up the fact that they're setting up that technocratic future. This is going to have another consequence down the road. This will be tied into blockchain. This is all going to be automaticized. This is all going to be, the AI may jump right in and take care of this. In part, I think that's kind of exciting. If it's against the law and they do it to you, then you get automatic justification and justice. It happens immediately. The transfers happen. The social credits are dinged. And we live in a nice, happy society with whatever we have in the transfer of AI. That sounds like a pretty cool thing if we could trust it. But see, we can't trust any of it. It's all hackable anyway. But from Russia, of all places, they're saying, wait a minute, censorship is actually a monetary problem. A commerce problem. So look how, I said, look to Russia, how they're manipulating their existence into a future that I'm identifying is not what we want either, but give us the idea that it's possible if we didn't know before. A law can be made to penalize those people that cause your content on wherever you are, YouTube, maybe even YouTube itself, taking down your free speech, taking down your access, your fair use, and destroying your voice. I think it has to be a good thing. In a world of regulation, you better have the ones that protect you and not just allow the ones that exploit you. Code breakers, and this is, I wanted to move on a nice little thing. We have a copyright being known to take and censor you. I thought this little story was kind of neat. Way back in the past, something that was unbreakable at the time anyway. Who cares 200 years later? But they couldn't censor you. In this content, it was a system. They used the system in order to advance a code through to communicate to people around the globe. They were not able to anybody couldn't figure it out. It brings back what I used to do when I was a kid in the simple form, encryption, not the type of digital, but an interesting way to use the system in order to do encryption nonetheless. The code breakers find sexts, Arctic dispatches, in 200-year-old encrypted newspaper ads. And so this is like a little heads up. Maybe we need to go back to the paper, pen and paper stuff. Certainly paper money, even though it's fiat, is better than digital for sure. Coin and maybe silver and gold would be better than that. But we're going to have to move ourselves back into the future, if you will, into the more basic stuff. If we talk about encryption, here's something that lasted 200 years. It's not hackable instantly now or defeatable. And when you knew the magic trick, I guess you can then decode. But it took them 200 years to start doing this. Between 1850 and 1855, someone published a series of unusual ads in the British newspaper The Times. They are made up of a series of seemingly random letters, apparently gobbledygook. Almost 200 years later, a group of code breakers has finally been able to decrypt some of them and read what they said, discovering that they were actually encrypted messages for a rescue expedition in the Arctic Ocean. Quote, we can potentially call this the first known secure global communication systems in the 1800s. Ilonka Dunin, one of the cryptography enthusiasts who decrypted the message, said during the talks of the Hackers on Planet Earth conference in Queens on Saturday. Ilonka Dunin's notes inside the Murray Cat code signal show how she was helped by that Marriott code signal book decoding system for flags on ships was able to help her move that forward, find the code key. The story of the ad starts in 1855, and then when explorer Lord John Franklin set out from England on an expedition with two warships called Terror and Erebus, with the goal of finding the Northwest Passage, a sea route that connects the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans from the Arctic Ocean, a faster way to get from England to the India and the rest of the Asia. 3 years later, Franklin and his 129 men vanished and were never heard from again. In 1850, English naval officer Richard Collison was sent to the Canadian Arctic in hopes of finding any traces of the Franklin expedition, or at least figuring out what happened to the explorer and his ships. Collison's ultimately failed expedition lasted from 1850 to 1855, exactly the same time period of the encrypted ads published in the Times. Noonan was asking, was there a relationship between the encrypted ad and the Northwest Passage of the Franklin Expedition? This led into being able to break this code. It's not fully broken, though. Long story short, just to show that there are systems that can't be at the time decrypted. It took a long time to do that. They still were secure for the purposes that they were done. In fact, if for those of you that are inspired, if you get this link, there's apparently a way to go through, and they're asking people, there are still a few coded messages that have not been decrypted, and they're asking, as a puzzle, to solve if anybody can solve them, and maybe get your name on the roster of those that can. I found this pretty interesting. There used to be systems that were unbreakable, at least for the time. I mean, 200 years later is seemingly unbreakable to me, as far as in someone who needs it at the time. And very interesting that there were love letters that were passed between in the New York Times. The reason why the Times was published, because it was, at the time, a global paper. Like the Internet today, I suppose. And it could be found in all large ports, and that's how they started to do it. It doesn't mean that they had timely communication. One time they had to go into Indonesia. It took a few years to get all a number of copies of the Times there in order to make sense of what was going on by the people using it. Point is, there was other code-breaking, people tried to hack this, but apparently couldn't at the time. Unlike today, or it seems like instantaneously, your life is exposed. So back, Quinn, code-breaking, 200 years. We go back even further. People that were vilified for various reasons on this, we didn't have the sophistication, I guess, to figure out that maybe people had problems. Witchcraft conviction overturned after 329 years. Took 329 years to decode that someone was not actually a witch. Apparently, this is kind of common in certain places in the country, United States, like Massachusetts, where people were convicted of being witches, practicing witchcraft. It took 329 years to decrypt the fact that maybe someone wasn't. And you can do that today as well. A school teacher and her class convinced Massachusetts to axe a 1692 Salem witch trial conviction. The U.S. state of Massachusetts has overturned a witchcraft conviction from over 300 years ago after a school teacher and her pupils campaigned to clear the name of a mentally ill woman condemned during the notorious Salem witch trials. Some of you have done the study, you know, and those that you haven't may want to hear. These women also were exploited by men at the time. And these witch trials were used to condemn the women in order to cover what the indiscretion of the man was, or a group of men. And what I find interesting about this story, and I didn't make the connection so well, but it was interesting to me when I started doing study on that abortion, the nature of the abortion problem that is being fabricated as the feel-good thing relative to the overturning of the Roe versus Wade. It came up pretty quickly. These witch trials came up very quickly as the same type of abuse. In other words, women are still being exploited, and you see it takes 329 years before people care enough to undo it, to no help of the victim. Injustice takes a long time to decrypt in a system that's supposed to pride itself that it didn't happen. And I'm suggesting here that we're not living much different than in the days of the Salem witch trials for all these things we have. And a lot of it's because of the response from people misinterpreting what the overthrow of the Roe versus Wade decision was. It ends up being the same types of exploitation. That's not what I'm here to talk about, though. The exoneration of 22-year-old Elizabeth Johnson Jr. comes at the part of a $53 billion state budget bill signed by Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker on Thursday, some 329 years after the woman was accused of being a witch. Johnson Jr. was among over 200 people suspected of practicing witchcraft during, witchcraft denunciation during the Salem witch trials between 1692 and 1693. The trials, which were fueled by superstitions, fear of disease. Is this what the WHO's, not the Warlock Group, the OWL, or the Little Whoville, but the World Health Organization, fear of disease over this stigma and discrimination over today and the moneypox, and any other paranoia, saw 19 people hanged and one person crushed to death by rocks. Johnson was one of 10 others found guilty by witchcraft and sentenced to death. However, due to an order by the Governor William Phipps in 1693, those executions were stayed. Johnson Jr. died in 1747 at the age of 77. 329 years to decrypt, decode that people weren't what people then said they were is the problem I have even with men and women being falsely convicted when we find decades later that they were innocent under in a system that purports to say you're presumed guilty. And they purport to say there's a system of justice that purports to carry, protect you. And again, by their deeds you shall know them. And when you find that lie and you don't question it, it leads to them allowing the other lies upon you in more insidious and nuanced ways. And they've gotten it so nuanced that it's confusing people. And I come behind the woodshed to try and explain how to work that through. Another thing, way past, so we're going back from the way back, being worked on today still, the injustices still being worked out of systems that were said to be just. And everybody just said, okay, it must be just, and it never was. And then they wonder why they see the insanity around them today. Talk about mentally ill. What are we seeing today? What was once thought to be eradicated. Once eradicated polio detected in more New York water samples, triggering community spread fears. From the past, happening again and again and again, because there's lies. There's lies on what's going on. There's lies about what people do today under the color of doing benefits. That's a lie. And no one knows how to stop it. No one even tries. Again, the Bar Association members you'd think would be the bastions of freedom to support the law, and not one has done so in the communicable disease sector. Not one has stepped up to be able to help, even help understand how do we address companies that looking more for the profit than the if you will, welfare, and not welfare paid as benefit, but welfare of the society. New York State Department of Health reported on Thursday to impact two important revelations about polio in the Big Apple, including that a previously detected case is genetically linked to cases spotted earlier in Israel that were vaccine-derived. This is not natural. This is not from the past. This is a new form. This is a novel form made in a lab, folks. Oh, my goodness. Not the past at all. From the Zionists. I told you these folks were the central hub of the endless disease network of money grubbers. According to the department, more wastewater samples from the Hudson River have returned samples positive for polio, a virus that in most infected people will have few ill effects, but in a small minority have had disastrous consequences, including meningitis and paralysis. It is spread by eating or drinking infected material. Wasn't that interesting, that statement that you'll have few ill effects? That speaks to not, because the polio vaccine I don't think has been given, but this speaks to natural immunity right there. But it's because of this man-made, laboratory-made, genetically altered, vaccine-derived jab that we see this happening. The samples came from two different locations in Orange County, while the previous found case was in Rockland County and to the south. NYSDOH has revealed that the virus in the infected person was genetically related to that found circulating in Israel capital in March. In the Israeli capital in March, the Zionist capital, which was derived from an oral vaccine gone wrong, folks. If you think they're caring about you. We move right in from the past right through to the present, and we see how wrong officialdom is, how wrong we see the governments and the experts and those that are given the power to decide. And they go on and on and on. And it's because of our silence that they continue. U.S. publisher, what if a COVID outbreak is part of Pentagon's biowarfare plan? You think, folks? What if? It admits there's a plan there, doesn't it? Found this pretty fascinating. What have I been saying? Someone else checking it out? What if, folks? How'd they even get there? Who'd have thunk it? What if COVID's outbreak is part of the Pentagon's biowarfare plan? And this issue comes through, and it talks to how the lineage of how this is all set up. You'll never see anybody talk about it being novel, and it was patented and all that. Everyone wants to play the game that it started in some country, not a lab. And I don't mean a lab in Wuhan. I mean every lab that had every manufacturing facility that had the capacity to put the chemical ingredients together to make this so. Why it went around the world so quickly. Why there's derivatives. They're all derivatives of the code. The Korean Central Agency, CNA, the state news agency of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, has recently accused the U.S. of being a sponsor of biological terrorism, adding that allegations that Washington is behind the COVID-19 pandemic are by no means fortuitous. Pyongyang's assumptions with regards to the Washington potential role in the COVID-19 pandemic occurred apparently stemmed from the bombshell report by Professor Jeffrey at DSAX. And I'm going to ask you to be careful about reading this report because it will not identify this is a chemical weapon, as I've explained over and over how you identify that. Again, it was done by patents. That's what novel meant. This is like the Israeli story right before it. This was a genetically altered condition. I can't even know there was actual polio in that. But it was genetically made. It was made in a lab. Now, Korea's on it. Do you think maybe that's why Korea was blamed in the prior story about being the hack? And the United States has the technology to adjust all the variables so that when you look to see where'd the hack come from, it points to any country they want? Well, I don't know that, but, you know, why not? I mean, this is what the big game is. So don't miss the point here. Some other country, and I bet it was coming from not just on this report, but what also the Russians found, that, and they're not, and what's interesting to me is that they have to point out to themselves that they're doing wrong in order to actually be honest and see where this thing actually came from. There's nothing organic. It was completely lab-made, completely synthetic. And so everyone's pointing fingers because everybody, all countries have their fingers in the criminal, organized criminal pie. And we have more stories coming from other places, looking at who the culprits are from the United States. Again, the same players, as we've talked about going through the CIA and USAID and all this other stuff, it's available to be seen how the United States functions in the world to do their deception. It's coming from the Russian army. America started, this is actually from a Serbian website I find fascinating information coming from. How they're picking this stuff up from afar is pretty interesting to me, is why I keep referring back to this. More information pops out, give us a little more complete picture from the Russian army saying, America started the COVID-19 project. USAID implements this scenario. The company Labyrinth Ukraine, a contractor of the United States Agency of the International Development, USAID, has participated in an American project for the study of African swine fever in Ukraine, said the head of the troops for radiation, chemical, and biological protection of the Russian's armed forces. So they point out the same players, and they go through the lineage here in this article, metabiota created by the PREDICT program in 2009, the 2019 American Institute Hopkins Event 2201. They go through the whole scenario. They go on and on. The Lancet promotion, all that we've talked about is all here what they're finding. They tie it back through this labyrinth Ukraine and tied to USA. And so we got the lineage back a different way if we wanted to know more of how the United States is working in all this. back through the Ukraine bioweapons labs and all that other stuff. And again, the appearance of impropriety, if we're going to be holding the high standard, as we just went through another court case, analyzing a brief for a motion for a Supreme Court decision, it's the mere appearances of impropriety can be good enough. The point being, the United States should not have put their fingers in any of it to avoid the mere appearance of this problem. Give somebody a leverage on you. And if it is an enemy actor, then you give them the power to make you look bad and or put suspicion on you. And this is what we see in the world right now. Everyone, all the countries are, they all got their fingers in something wrong. And that everyone tries to point out someone else's bad doing, but pointing out someone bad doing does not exonerate your own. That's an equity principle. And I guess I say that, and it seems maybe if we hunted these principles underneath us, not just as phrases, but in application, they would instruct us how we see the deeds and omissions as a problem. We see the condition and the continuance, the denial, the quiet, the silence by the United States military, the memory hole, Twitter I put in years ago about all this area as well, pointing out to these things that are now coming into the news and other nations are finding. And they're not just talking. They're pointing out exactly what we found and reported on in the United States, what was going on to defeat us, how they do a drill, how they do a setup, an event, how they set it up, how the plan ahead of us is the execution. Again, it was the jab that caused it, not that there was anything before it, and we see all that. It's just a declaration by an expert running these agendas out for some outcome. And I want to call us back to the Hopkins event 201. Again, the military is back in there. This is all military they're talking here. And the Russian army is looking at an American enemy and saying, listen, you're right on our doorstep. And here's how we're putting the pieces together. But we can disregard it as being an enemy that's going to lie. Or we can look at the truth of what's going on. We know the United States by its deeds. And this is all following through. All the universities were involved. What did I tell you about sustainable development? And the university system is an agent. Your entire university system is an agent furthering that whole thing. The puppets, the Muppet puppets right now pushing the thing right now in front of us are this Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab guy and others, the WEF, the elite global leaders already in your system. And so we see the same game being played of this endless disease. And this one, they didn't get so much, but San Francisco declares public health emergency over this money pox. And I had, we'll get to maybe a link here in a moment where it's Peggy Hall calls it monkey business, which I thought was a much funnier way to get at it. It's declares a public health emergency for monkey business. The monkey business outbreak prompted officials to declare a local public health emergency in San Francisco. And this kind of fell along the lines of, you notice, just like I told you what happened in the COVID fraud, was that there's a domino effect of declarations that goes on all at the same time. It happened here again. And so they're starting to raise the importance about it. Mayor London Breed said the declaration will begin Monday and allow the city to prepare and allocate resources to prevent the spread of the virus. But in fact, this is the thing that it's interesting about this. This moneypox is not really doing anything to stop the spread. And I want people to pay attention to this. If it is, and I haven't really looked that deep to this thing, it's such a ridiculous point relative to whether or not they can show it's a pox of whatever infection. They already have the vector of that. And yet that's not going to be dealt with. And we see it in the words. We see it in what the promotion is. That the execution in this is reversed this time relative to the fraud of the coronavirus bogus. The identifiable infectious principles and conditions of the spread are allowed to continue in this case under color of inapplicable reasons that you'll hear in all the documents called stigma and discrimination. So these people are not being controlled because of a stigma and discrimination. But isolation under the COVID fraud pandemic, yeah, think about this. The isolation is nothing more than the offense of discrimination under money pots. Right? It's backwards now. They locked you all up, and it was fine. They're not locking these people up, and they're the spreaders. No isolation for them. Because of stigma? That's not applicable. That's not a prevention method. Mitigation tool in the toolbox or the medical tool bag of your local health official. None of the officials globally, remember, regarding the previous, gave two peanuts avoiding or stigmatizing the healthy through unwarranted discrimination, those asymptomats in COVID fraud. They gave two peanuts to stigmatizing people. Most everybody who were an asymptomat. They could care less. And yet today, that becomes an issue? See, the discrimination they talk about is the very discrimination a health official is required to discriminate, to prevent the determined infectious agent, the principal carrying it, or the condition to stop what? To stop transmission. You're watching this thing come out, and it's being completely reversed in how they're implementing it. It's by omission that you see this fraud. However, it's on the same premise as we saw the fraud prior. And this is where I turn to a video, and thank you for the link to this, Peggy Hall. I haven't mentioned her quite a while. My problem with the part of what Peggy Hall was doing was focusing on the masks when she wasn't focusing on the fraud. But in this video link, and I gave it to you up about halfway through, where she identifies what the problem is. She identifies the word of fraud right in the order, like I was explaining to you before, relative to a presumptive emergency. You can't have a health emergency that's presumptive. And what you see in the order that was picked up by, after San Francisco, picked up by Governor Newsom in California, put right in black and white print the phrase, confirmed probable cases. You can't have confirmed probable cases. Peggy Hall in her video will go through that, and she does a good job explaining that through. She goes through further, and you can just watch on. She goes through more and more and more. She explains the sections of the code that they're using to support. But for me, the point is that she identifies that she didn't before, but she does now, how in the same excuse, something presumptive, not proven, that's used to move your life out of the way and give special care, non-care actually, to allow a problem to spread in the community through something called a confirmed probable case. Now, this is where it's important to read the words and apply what the statutes are supposed to do in any subject matter. An emergency cannot be a probable emergency. And if you're claiming it's confirmed probable, you've declared there isn't an emergency. And so that order, these orders are fraudulent on their face. The problem with this one is that they're not likely going to be knocking on your door unless you're the group that they're trying not to stigmatize. Forget that they stigmatize the whole planet with the other. They're not going to stigmatize these people while it's still a festering wound in a small group of people that we then see even in here on a confirmed probable, the United States declares moneypox, monkey business, public health emergency on the federal end. And that organization has no jurisdiction to declare that because that's supposed to be done locally. Where do I get that? Your local communicable disease law. Then I had a question talking with or writing to somebody. I wonder if they put this moneypox in the communicable disease list. And when did that happen? I haven't gone back to check. If it's not there, it can't even follow that they don't even have a listing to even act this way. And when you see the numbers, it's ridiculously low on top of that. I won't go through all that. I'm trying to show you how you start to analyze what's going on and what isn't really going on. And when someone comes at you, how you are able to avoid or put the burden on them where it belongs. The accuser has the burden. So that the stigma and the discrimination is not done. Well, if they're not going to discriminate, then they're not going to discriminate the vector, the infectious principle, those people that are spreading the disease, if they don't discriminate them from the rest. And were they stigmatized and discriminated against everybody without cause in the last one, the New York, who is declaring an emergency as well, urges the WHO, not the rock group, the OWL, or the little people in Whoville, but the World Health Organization, to immediately rename monkeypox, using the name that may be devastating and stigmatizing effects on vulnerable communities. New York's health chief, Ashwin Vasant, is calling on the World Health Organization to speed up the renaming of monkeypox, as he declaims that the continued use of the term carries potentially devastating and stigmatizing effects on vulnerable communities. They didn't do that for you in COVID. They didn't follow the law at all in COVID. Now they're reverse handling it. They're allowing those that are the vectors to go about society. Not preventing any of them, not isolating any of them, what's the stigma? The stigma that they put on what? That you're an infectious principle? Maybe if they made it quiet and stopped making it public and stopped making a thing about it, maybe this would have been solved a lot quicker. But see, that wouldn't be then moneypox, would it? Now we heard what they could do. They could inform the people that are one of the mitigation levels is to inform people, educate them. And that's all that the government's coming out to do. The United States government issues a moneypox safe sex guide. The CDC has issued guidelines for safer sex amid the spread of monkeypox virus, urging romantic partners to take steps to reduce exposure to the rare illness. I won't go on to the sort of details about the rashes and lesions on the body parts, but this is what they're saying. Short of a shot, then, the CDC suggests that individuals avoid anonymous sexual contact and private and public sex parties instead of proposing virtual sex with no in-person contact. Alternatively, lovers might also masturbate together at a distance without touching each other, without touching any rash, or consider having sex with their clothes on, the document continued. Remember what and who we're talking about. This is not the whole population. Should I say it this way? Arguably, as I said to somebody, if you're not having sex with men that have sex with other men, arguably, you shouldn't be concerned. They're claiming here there's only 6,000 moneypox infections to date, but they're letting it go on. They didn't care under a fear of something that's not in the medical toolbox called the fear of stigmatization and discrimination. Again, discrimination is within the power of the health official in order to stop the spread. You discriminate about the one that's the infectious principle with the infectious agent. By definition, they're claiming they will not enforce your communicable disease law, whatever you call it. And so we have an article here which caught my interest as far as working between the hypocrisy of it, the money pox, the monkey business terror versus the LGBTQ agenda when contradictory leftists' narratives collide. And now you can probably start to see, I hope you put together, if this is the men-on-men type thing, you can start to see the danger of having the transgender put into schools with the young ones as something that needs to be exalted. They're allowing the vector to go to your schools. They're allowing the vector to be promoted and esteemed. Instead of, as my friend who was gay years ago said, they were terrified. The group of people he was with, the gays he was with, were terrified the government was politicizing their lifestyle. This is it, folks. He was dead on. I was clueless then. He was dead on. This is that extension of 1984 and the AIDS epidemic that they put on people today. And I still find it amazing how it popped up after the chemical weapon attack. And boy, doesn't that start to speak to genetics and interaction and the two-element weapon, three-element weapon, binary weapon. One of the most pernicious tactics in the social justice movement is placing opponents in rhetorical double binds. That is what they're doing in Money Pops. They stigmatize the asymptomat during COVID fraud, and they're giving free range of these people that they know they should be communicating with to say, you got to stop. And you also notice they're not demanding the vaccine. That's another thing. You're actually seeing it more lawfully applied once they've identified to those that may be at risk, the actual vulnerable community, but they should have kept it private and not created a stigma for it. And this is what he's taught, this thing, this double binds consideration in this article is. Once you understand how this manipulative trick works, you'll discover it everywhere in SJWS discourse. This is all the politicians putting everything out. This is all these movements, what they put out. For example, let's take the recent moneypox scare, which primarily affects homosexual men. Or to use the new PC phrase, men who have sex with other men. It's like 99%, folks. So I say, arguably, if you're not engaged in this lifestyle, you're not going to be affected. And part of my spirit gets a little bit crushed. My friend, we were talking, he's gay. He's telling me back in 1980s, right in the middle of the 80s, or beginning of the 80s, actually before 84, this was going on to stigmatize that community. Same thing. It's now alive. And the government foments it. The government protects it in order to gain a foothold against those that they are now moving against using this stalking horse. So we can use the euphemism of men who have sex with other men, but that just shows you 99% of the people. And this must mean that some are leaking out if it's 1% of the likely women now that are being affected because they're not paying attention. That's where that vector is going to open up to the rest of the population that they're allowing to fester, as it started to do back in the 80s in the gay community, that the euphemism, men who have sex with other men, then brings up the idea of those people can spread. And I didn't find it a surprise, people that start to think a little bit clearly, maybe these people aren't not jab harm, that when you have an excuse of stigma and discrimination in a health authority that has to at least discriminate, you don't have to do the stigmatization because you're not supposed to make it public. It's supposed to be a private medical thing with your doctor, remember? That's the law. When they're making it public, you're watching this SJW nonsense. But people who have to start dealing with the reality, like this next report, are going to have to deal with the reality of mixing that lifestyle or those that are potentially in the lifestyle away from other people, where we see it doesn't look like a health concern, but English rugby bans trans players. Now, this happens to be gender side, but if you understand what they're doing with putting this LGBTQ, whatever, what all these people, I don't get what all these people are, where you may have this interaction where you try to do trans and you try to integrate in society and make it more than it ought to be. You put it in your schools and all this other stuff. You start seeing this interaction. We see both formats of the game. This has nothing to do with gender now. It has to do with it also. This hygiene extends into society in different ways. Both formats of the game, rugby union and rugby league, have decided on the action. The rugby football union, RFU, and rugby football league, RFL, have blocked transgender players from taking part in women's rugby in both codes of the game in England. The bodies released statements on Friday confirming the update of their policy. Again, I told you, policy has to come up. With regard regulations amended to permit only players that were assigned female at birth and to feature in women's rugby matches. Okay, that's the gender question. I'm showing you that there becomes a problem with an integration of society or proximity if we don't look and do cause the health discrimination that has to happen for any communicable disease. STDs are not new. Moneypox is not new. It's an STD. It confined itself, apparently, to the more men-on-men sex. See, the stigmatism comes in places where that's been outlawed in other countries. That could be real dangerous. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about how the government would stigmatize the asymptomat and penalize them and brutalize people mercilessly, and the license given to a different group of people, a minority, way minority, to go infect the rest of the population. That it's going to take some honest looking at the reality that I think the rugby story reaches on over. Because reality bites, folks. Reality is going to hurt, and if we don't start becoming sensible about that, we don't want to mess with communicable diseases if they're there. We could stop it very quickly if we understand the chemical weapon attack, we just don't engage. And the chemical weapon attack is over for, I told you, it'd take a couple of years to come out. It's coming out. African nation reports first death linked to COVID jab. South African health regulator established a causal link between vaccinations and fatal case of rare disorder. So we see where there's a fear of the stigma and discrimination, and they let it run rampant, where they gave a remedy, it was deadly, notwithstanding what the record's saying in the United States and the cook in the books of the epidemiology. Which is not science. They claim it's science. It's just cook in the books. It's just data. Having no causal relationship anywhere, actually. Why? Because they never identified the infectious agent and there is no test. But Africa Nation reports the first death linked to the COVID jab. Do we have any question here? Are the United States going to continue to censor us when we start saying that this stuff is harmful? The fatal case here is a rare neurological disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome. It was done by the J&J Janssen vaccine. J&J Janssen has to be the same style of adenovirus that the Russians made. So consider that as we move into the tabs here real quick. As we find out that on all this information, notwithstanding the censorship that's going on and people giving more information to let other people do the research and figure out for themselves what they need to do, we have a video here that Paul Pretu Fauci complains that Americans will not adhere to authorities. Well, they aren't actually authorities. They're fraudsters. And he's the main and prime one. And he's been involved with the gay issue, the promotion of the AIDS and all that in the 1984 and such like that. You've seen hear all that. Fauci is recognizing that whatever we're doing here, behind the woodshed and everywhere else, to give the information, it's allowing people to be free to think for themselves and not adhere to authorities. But fraud is not an authority. So don't forget that. You don't even have to attach to that, adhere. You don't have to adhere, and fraud doesn't precludes you. You should be precluded from it. Has nothing to do with health now. Has to do with fraud. And part of these remedies that are we finding out the reality bites, comes up and bites you. We find a condition here, an email, excuse me, a video. I'll just read the heading. Dr. Pierre Corey takes Alex Berenson to school on how to sift through and analyze scientific studies. This was interesting, as I didn't read this title really relative to the video where the Dr. Pierre Corey is telling Alex Berenson of some studies that we're not supposed to mention here that are showing a 92% effective rate to show you that what the government did, again, was a lie, another fraud, to promote the fraud for the profit. But he's showing us the 92%, and I have a link to the one of the reports of dozens and dozens and thousands, apparently, that Dr. Corey was explaining to Alex Berenson how to go through and read some of this stuff, that the IVERMECTIN as a prophylaxis led to a 92% reduction in mortality rate. And on the other side, where we have the Sputnik 5, Russia's answer response consistent with the J&J, which we saw now Africa is saying is not good, the report that says myth versus reality is COVID fraud in Russia, essentially. Sputnik V is safe. Putin is just playing along with COVID narrative until the petrodollar collapses. Russia is the last bastion of freedom. Alternative media has created an alternative reality about Russia. The Kremlin has embraced all the same soul-raping public health measures currently terrorizing the Western world, and people are either in denial or making excuses. All 85 federal subjects of the Russian Federation now have vaccine mandates, as well as rules requiring digital health certificates for entry into certain businesses, venues, and public institutions. Many regions are denying routine medical care to those without QR codes. Have you heard anything missing that I've talked about behind here telling you, be careful, this is global? This is the first article I see that goes through for Russia on the Russian side to explain it's identical in Russia as they've been violating people in the West. Stop the myth about it. It's global. Talking about the connection here is those digital health certificates. The digital technocracy, as I've been saying, is what Putin's putting in. He's not to be exalted. He has some things he's doing that we need to watch because it's showing how sovereign steps away from being brutalized by what appears to be a bigger sovereign, but it's not. But it's all financial, and it's moving into how they control your financial future. And the myth of what these mitigation measures do, where you talk about the high-sounding Sputnik 5, it's not. It's the same nonsense. We see more problems coming out. Hair loss and sexual dysfunction are new long COVID symptoms. Now, do I need to read about that? You would think that would happen when your blood flow is being constrained, don't you think? I mean, this just seemed to be like a natural thing. You got the diminishment of your blood system and your maybe even your neurons that this would be another effect. So if you're losing hair all of a sudden, and I'm hearing some people have making this complaint, you might want to look to see whether or not you've got some kind of an interference going on. Did you agree? And you're kind of in denial, I'd say look at be honest now. And if you're having these side effects going on, maybe go check them out, because if you get to it quick, you might be able to neutralize this stuff. So, we have a little bit to do. We have to take responsibility on all these lies as they move us through, as we see Russia doing it. They're doing violating their people, going to digital to control the economies, to control your life. We don't see it changing. We see it in the West, the same it moves on. They're all moving toward an end, as we see the Federal Reserve likely to raise interest rates again. I want you to be sure that this is not just inflation. This really only addresses those that would take loans, but it has an adverse effect on the economy nonetheless, and it was predictable and predicted this would be happening. They have nowhere to go. According to the Social and Human Resources Management, inflation has offset the increases in wages, causing a 2.7% decrease in inflation-adjusted hourly earnings as of March of this year. How many months have we passed? And these numbers are cookbooks as well. The point is that they did, and they are moving now and adjusting this, and it's going to have a ripple effect throughout the economy, which it goes to jobs. All right, so it's on the move now against the people, whether they know this or not, and we get a statement, out of a news report out of here. We hope more Americans become unemployed, leaked Bank of America memo says. Again, these corporations could care less about you. Like, economy works completely opposite what people think it does. You can act, again, when you go into toxic debt and monetizing it, you make money on, no matter as long as you can manipulate it, you can make money at it. You and I suppose, and my listener, I don't think there's anybody that that is connected that way cannot do that. You're going to be subject to it. These are telling you, you better start to learn how to work locally and cut yourself loose from these people, that these bankers, they call them banksters, these criminals, that seek to look forward to you hurting somehow. A leaked internal memo from a senior Bank of America executive has cast new aspersions on the country's wealthy elite, revealing the budding recession to be an instrument of class warfare. What have I said? They're destroying the middle class. This is what it's all about. They got to get rid of you while you think you are a second class and diminish you to where you are not and you don't know it. The document, a mid-year review dated June 17th, was written by Ethan Harrison, a head of global economics research at the Bank of America Securities, the corporation's investing public arm. According to The Intercept, which is given a copy of the document, Harris wrote down some predictions for the coming months, including that changes in the numbers of Americans looking for jobs should help push up the unemployment rate. It goes on to say they're looking forward to you being in hurt is how they actually advance through, and they're looking again to the bottom line on how that would happen, going and pushing forward this new technology in order to have that, cause that to become more controllable against you and to be more in line with these sustainable goals. As we see, a bank executive also pushes personal carbon wallets that allocate, quote, emission rights to citizens. What you've been thinking, what I've been telling you was coming down the pike on all this is a conspiracy theory. No, they're actually putting it through. They talk about this being a thought experiment, but the bank, underlying the bank, they agree with this thought experiment. No, this is not a thought experiment. This is notice to you. A senior executive at the multinational banking and financial services company Rabobank, not Robobank, that's probably what it more like is, Robobank has called for personalized carbon wallets that give individual citizens emission rights and allow wealthier citizens to buy emission rights from those who can't afford to fly. Enough said there, they incentivize the poor people to sell the rights they can't use anyway to those that can, to make a whole new market to exploit. And they bring everybody into the servitude, and you have to be in that system in order of social credit for that to work. But they incentivize it to get people to go in and look what I get to sell to the elite. No, it's all a fraud, folks. Carbon's a fraud. Al Gore-ish. And we move on and we see more information about this digital connection and control and how the Russians are moving into it. The West is moving into it. It wasn't ever a question. I told you that. They've made it like a question. So that's just a head fake for you. You better pay attention on this crypto stuff. How, as we talked at the beginning of the broadcast, here it is, how techno-communism will institute the CBDC, the central bank game play in 3 minutes, written by a website called Second Smartest Guy in the World. How the techno-communism will institute the CBC, the central bank game plan, in under 3 minutes. You should read it. He has this together. I figure the second smartest guy in the world, little hat tip to the guy behind the woodshed, you think? What do you think? Read how they're doing it, folks. Read, understand how the trap's being set, and you're springing it, essentially. U.S. Treasury just published a working paper pushing for central bank digital currency to counter bank runs. They always give a reason. Folks, I don't know of anybody that can actually do a bank run. They've got your dollars down to so much you can't pull out of the bank anyway. But this is the excuse. The Office of Financial Research is the independent bureau within the United States Department of Treasury, which has formed a response to the financial crisis of 2000 and 2007 and 2008, as I've said. What they thought was a bank run, that was a setup for a takedown where they monetized toxic debt or fraud. And the subsequent Great Recession that ensued, we're reliving it again already, folks. The OFR's responsible for collecting financial data and making recommendations to the Treasury's Financial Stability Oversight Council, the FCOC, based on the data, who then responds to emerging risks to the stability of the United States financial system. I'll say that's the financial system and not you. So be careful on what you hear them working for and toward. As we read in other countries, it's not going so good. As again, the United States is kind of core to this, and the World Bank, the IMF, and the Bank of International Settlements, they're all intrinsically tied. They all are led by the nose. We see inflation in the Netherlands reaches 10.3% in July, the first time since 1975. if you're not understanding how we're playing games. 75, I think that's where gasoline went from 25 cents to over a buck, and we shocked. But Netherlands, I told you, watch the Netherlands. It's kind of critical here. I couldn't find the debt paid back to that country for the United States being started. Go back and do that research. And I told you this is going to be kind of focal point in the news. Here they are again telling you that your gas has made quadruple overnight. Have they? Pretty close, huh? And so we're just replaying the same old game. Yeah, grain. Read my text. Those are the Netherlands, 10.3% in July alone, folks. If you don't think things are going on, how much of inflation? And this is I appreciated this title because this is what I was thinking about weeks and weeks ago. I made the comment. I think I made a comment on the air. If not, I was talking to somebody. I said they can use this inflation, not the increase in the interest rate by the Fed, but the inflation. They could use this to cover all kinds of stuff. And are they? Well, here, Charles U. Smith says the same questions the same way. How much of inflation is the price being jacked up under the excuse of inflation? It's just another stalking horse condition. You see a game, you see how the game is played right in this story. If you understand, just attach this to other stalking horse conditions. Whatever name they put on the benefits that they're giving, like stigma and discrimination, to actually allow the condition to foment and continue throughout the rest of society over time. So he asked the questions, I agree, asked the question, how can we know? Again, these are covers. The corporations can profit handily on how this is. And someone else asked, Brandon Smith asked, supply chain problems will persist because the system is being sabotaged. Haven't I said the same thing? And that's supposed to be a crime in this country. Where's the military to stop it? We can go on and read the articles. I just want to point out there's people in their titles are telling us now that it's becoming up, we can't disregard that's probably what's going on. He has a whole analysis. Brandon Smith has a whole analysis about these things, I think under the word demonstration, what that means, and the point he's getting at, as well as I've just said, you got to look at these words from whom is using them and what they mean to those people. You can't define the language, especially if it's being used against you. A developing evil, the malignant historical force behind the Great Reset, another discussion on how this thing gets worked on, how it gets promoted, what's going on, how it's in the system. I've told you the United States is malignant with all the infrastructure. The capacity building's been going on against you since at least the 70s. And so to help keep you, especially in Kanukistan now, from seeing the effect and coming to defend yourself, Kanukistan is to ban import on handguns pending total freeze. They're now moving forward up there to keep the people from defending themselves. They understand what's going on. This guy, Trudeau, understands what it's going to take. They know how to head it off. If you don't think that's corollary in the United States, the Senate now picking up this weapons ban is not correlated. If you don't think you're in a war, listen to this. The EU confirms gas rationing plan. Sounds like the 40s to me in World War II. Rationing is war. And then the government starts dictating what goes on. EU country may close stores to conserve power. You think it's going to get austere for you folks in the winter? You have to start thinking about how you're going to work around these problems when you don't have power, as Britain is warned of astronomical inflation next year. But 75,000 Brits think they're going to stop paying their power. How about if you stop using the power now and stop committing fraud on your contract to pay the power and understand that they got you in a trap and you got to get yourself out. Don't not pay your bill. Pay your bill and then stop using their benefit. I hope something I said today gives you some thoughts on how to take care of it, look forward, how to protect yourself, how to put a buffer, do something else better. Hopefully, folks, I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or nature willing.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.